Hello, my fellow Americans. You're listening to Let Freedom Ring with Ron Tanarello, pastor, patriot, and thank you for tuning in. We've been talking about America. America, America. I love the country. Best country in the world. I've been to several others. No comparison. They're nice. They have. Yeah, I'm not saying that there's not other countries. I've been to Sweden. I've been to France. I've been to Africa. I've been to the Ukraine. Hungary, etc. South America. Traveled not extensively, but enough to see what other cultures are like and other countries are like. And some of them have some pretty good things, but nobody quite has what we have. I want to say that what we have is something that was fought for, something that was not given to us without the bloodshed work and the consciences, and I'd say the morality and the temper of others that have gone before us. And we are dealing today with whether or not America still is a Christian nation. I believe it is. I believe that we have enough people that hold on to it, but it's changing. And it's not changing for the better. There has been without any doubt, you don't have to have a conspiracy theory to come up with the fact that the educational system, the law system, when we see some of these judges that are appointed by some of the presidents like Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and others, matter of fact, even Ronald Reagan made a bad choice in Souter, for one, turned out to be a lefty instead of being a liberal judge rather than constitutional judge. I know if you recognize recently, the president has put out a list of judges. Now, what's the difference in the judges and why are the judges important? And why is the choice you make for president important with respect to the laws that we live under? Well, think of it this way. The list that we have now, you will hear people like Schumer and Pelosi and others say, radical, radical right. No, they're not. They're what we call originalist, constitutional judges. In other words, the Supreme Court, the last thing that it should do is make law. And when the Supreme Court makes law, it becomes the law of the land. The problem with that is that we do not elect these people. We do elect the president that appoints them and the senators that will vote for them. So we need to have a president and senators that will uphold the Constitution of the United States. And what is that Constitution? Well, that Constitution has three separate branches of government. You have your legislative branch, which is we'll call it the Congress, comprised of the House of Representatives and the Senate. Both of these places are where they make laws, do budgets, finance things. Then we have the executive branch. Primary goal of the executive branch is to protect the nation, watch over the nation, so to speak. If the single one duty that the president has is to defend the nation from enemies foreign and within. He's the commander in chief. And we have to have somebody that does a good job in that. Right now, if we went back, I could say to you that under the past administration, not the Trump administration, but the Obama-Biden administration, we had a thing called sequestration that they put in. And what they did was they said, well, here's what will happen. It'll take a vote of Congress not to fund the military. And they voted for it. In fact, you had a Republican Congress and they voted for it. But that was under Paul Ryan. And he was what we call a rhino, a guy who once again is amongst the globalists that are looking for a one world government to push us out of our uniqueness as Americans and into something else, a one world government. And who's going to run that? You better start thinking about that. I mean, the UN wants to confiscate our weapons. I wonder if they'll confiscate them from the Middle East. I doubt it. But they'll go to law-abiding countries like ours and, turn in your weapons. Well, I'll tell you what, you need them. And as you can see with the violence that's in the streets and the lack of protection from police, who are now afraid to do their jobs because of the haranguing that they're getting and the publicity that they're getting. Not that they're all perfect, but you know what? We need to maintain order in our society. A society can't run without it. So back to these judges. So then you have the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court isn't the final arbiter of all things. So, for example, recently they just passed a law on rights, and they went back, and you'll see that the originalist justices on the court disagreed with the last decision that came down. It was a 5-4 decision. And in that 5-4 decision, what they said was that they included transgender among the rights of the people. What they did, they went on a law that was written back in 1950, 60, where no way that you could even think that it would apply to transgender. It had to do with men and women, equal rights between men and women, to have women have the same rights as men. But now you put in a new class of people that never existed then and really don't exist now, no matter how you look at it. It's, pardon me, I'm not being cruel or anything, but look, let's just figure this out. You have XX and XY. So that's what the genes are. When no matter what you do with the person, no matter what you do with operations, they remain the gender in which they were born. And if you want men walking into your daughter's locker rooms and vice versa, you should vote for a president or someone who is going to say, hey, you know what? Anything goes. Here we go. I'm God now. I'm changing the sexes. I'm going to do that. Well, that's exactly what happened when the Supreme Court makes a ruling. You want to see division in our nation. Where does it start? Well, it starts with laws, of course, but then again, that's what the court is there to do, to make sure that the laws that come along do not take away your individual rights, that they're constitutional. So in the case of this last decision on the court, I would say that it would be up to the Congress, if the Congress had any kind of guts, to stand up and say, now, wait a minute, you're taking power away from us, authority away from us. You can't do that. You don't have a right to declare and make a law. But that's the way they get away with stuff, and that's why you see that Congress has such a bad reputation, because they do nothing for the most part. Now, there's some good congressmen and congresswomen and senators, and the fact of the matter is that they need to stay with this Constitution, because the Constitution protects us, and the Constitution is being shredded while you sleep. I'm telling you right now, you need to wake up to that. God gave us a nation here that was so unique and so incredible, had such potential. And that potential began to be realized. But we found people that said, you know what? This is a wealthy country. I can really profit from it. I have power. People like the Rockefellers going way back. And the Rockefeller Foundation, you can trace all the way back to see the beginning of people trying to get into a position where they can control the population, control us. And they do this in the various ways. Right now, your news is being controlled by Google, Facebook, by the major networks, and some of the major cable companies. You're not getting honest news from there. You can get some. You can go to different news outlets. But if you're just listening to CNN and even with Fox, Fox has got a lot of good stuff on it. But and it has both sides, which is good. You can listen to both sides and then you can decide for yourself. But you're not even given the respect to think for yourselves. You don't even have that respect, because you get a one-sided, lopsided opinion from one group of people, and that is from the left. And you might say the left, the we'll call it Chamber of Commerce, the globalist major corporations, everybody right now is fighting against this president. Why? Because he doesn't come from amongst the political class. He comes from a he's a billionaire. But he comes from another class of people. And, you know, builders are kind of different than other people. These major corporations that control media, they have a sense of power that they can do pretty much whatever they want to do. And they do it. Let me tell you, they do it. So you have to be careful what you listen to. So we are on the decline. There's no two ways about it. As a matter of fact, you're very close to, as Ronald Reagan once put it, you're about one election away from losing your freedom. And that's where you are right now. You're going to have to make some tough choices, and you have to decide what kind of an America you want to have. Now, I know my appeal is to my fellow Americans. It's the patriots. It's the people that love the country, want to be able to gain from their labor, want to be able to become whatever God's called them to be and whatever they can be. But, you know, the thing is, that's great. But once you get into a position where you have authority and power, you're going to need some character there, because you can use that for the good of people, or you can use it for the harm of people or for your own benefit. You know, one of the things that I believe it was King George said with George Washington after his second term in office, when he stepped down, he thought, well, if he stepped down because people wanted to make him king, he didn't want to be king. And the then King of England said, if he steps down, he's a better man than I am. And he did step down. He did step down. He didn't try to stay in. Just think of what's happened recently. Tell me that when we look at America and see what happened recently, when you have a duly elected president come in, and then you have a complete effort to undermine that administration, not approve his ministers, that is, you know, his secretaries and people that he points in. Notice that half of these secretaries are acting secretary. Why is that? Because the Senate won't vote on them. They're holding up everything. Why are they holding it up? Because they don't want him in there. Why don't they want him in there? They don't want this nation to be independent of other nations. They want us to be subservient. They want to be the world rulers. Believe me, that's where this is headed. And by the way, that's Bible. I'm not making this up. We can see that in the scripture. And from my point of view, you know, there's a judgment that comes at the end of the age. And make no mistake about it, no matter what you think or what you believe, there comes a time when you stand before Almighty God. And then what you believe, it only matters if you believed in him, if you had agreed with him. He's given you freedom of choice. Nobody forces you ever to be a Christian. Nobody forces you to do anything unless you break a law, and then you're hindered from doing that. And even today, that's not even happening, and that's not a good thing, because that means whatever you have is up for grabs. Bar the door, bar and lock it. I'm going to tell you that you might not have you might not have stuff, but should we get to the place where we have to, how would I put it, defend ourselves, and we can't have a government that maintains order in this nation? This is ridiculous. And order in the nation, if you look at Romans chapter 14, what is it supposed to do? It is supposed to maintain the peace. It's something that God created to protect that which is good and to punish what is evil. That's why he put the sword in the hand of government. God establishes government with us, self-government, family, and then from family we have church, and then what do we have? We have government, civil government, local government, state government, national government. It's all government. And then in this country, it's of the people, by the people, and for the people. At least it used to be. But now the people are changing. Maybe it's because the church hasn't done its job as it should. Maybe it's because we've hardened our hearts and we haven't looked at things the way we should look at them. And we haven't fought the good fight. You know, years ago, I did a message, and I'm talking about 30 years ago, and I said, they're stealing the children's bread and they're stealing the children. And boy, I got a lot of pushback on that message, but I was right. That's exactly what was happening. I was noticing what was taking place in the schools and how they were undermining in social studies and in other ways the authority of parents over children. And so we took our kids out of school. We weren't some of the first homeschoolers here in the state of New Hampshire. By the way, most of my kids have gone to college and graduated, some with technical degrees, one with technical degrees, business degrees, teaching degrees, and they've done well. And yet they were homeschooled. In fact, one was one of the first homeschoolers accepted in their college, which was a private college down in Massachusetts, Gordon College, as a matter of fact. All I can tell you is that we have to fight for what we have. We can't just let it be taken from us. So basically, as we have read and looking at the book American Christian History by Gary DeMar and some of the materials that we're using, I want to say that there's no doubt that the memory of what America once was is fading, and it's fading quickly. And the shift in America's moral foundation has taken place. It just has. And you see, we're at a point right now where those who have been working to shift this patiently, taking over almost 100 years, but when you start looking at how they did this slowly but surely to undermine what was good in the past, take the things that were wrong, and there were some, and then blow them up to make it look like everything in the past was wrong. It wasn't. So it just took a matter of time, and there's overwhelming evidence that America all founded as a Christian nation, and there's ample evidence that there is a conscious effort to abandon that heritage in our educational and our legal systems. Our educational system has been the biggest tool. That's why this rush to kindergarten here in New Hampshire. No, we didn't have kindergarten. We had the best kindergarten system you could have had. Parents could send their kids where they wanted them to go, to academic kindergartens or to other types of kindergartens, but when they were ready. Parents had a choice, and then they go into school. But then all of a sudden, now one size fits all, and we're stamping out these good little socialist communists that are coming out of our school system. Brats that are protesting, brats that are not protesting, but should I say destroying the nation, well-funded too. You ought to think about that. Where's all the money coming from? Coming from corporations. Why corporations? Corporations don't want just a strong America. They want a world government where they can be in control and make profits upon profits. Nothing wrong with profit. We are a capitalistic society. The Bible gives us a very good, economic system in a Christian worldview, but it is a fair price for fair product for labor, and it is a good, in other words, you work, you set a price on things. It's a good moral and ethical thing. Of course, you always have people that are cheating, but that's why you have weights and measures, and that's why you need government to have some regulation, not regulate everything, but have some regulation to protect the people. So let's go back. The Bible already banned in some schools legislators and graduation ceremonies. That's where it's been banned, and it's becoming increasingly unwelcome in the nation's courtrooms. To give you an example, in the past 13 months of 1991 to 92, two state Supreme Courts ruled that it's no longer acceptable for prosecutors to attempt to obtain a death penalty sentence or by reading biblical scripture to jurors. And then soon after the defeat of George Bush in 1992, that's George H. Bush, that election, a group of centrists, that is Republicans, met to outline a strategy to bring the party back to what they considered to be the mainstream. Now, how would they accomplish this? Well, our purpose, Representative Tom Campbell of California said, is to exclude issues of morality and conscience as litmus test of being a Republican. Okay, that's interesting. If he or she does not agree with the platform of the party, the same is true of Democrats. The issue is values. Values. What does the party stand for? Morality is essential in developing social policy. Certain causes, for example, protection of the unborn, are rooted in the conviction that those who cannot defend themselves should expect protection from those who are able to fight for them. Here is one of the Republican evaluation of the new centrist Republican party. Representative Tom Campbell, this is back in 92 now, 93, he announced the formation of the Republican Majority Coalition by declaring, "We are inclusive, not exclusive." He and his co-founders wanted to build a party that steers clear of controversies about values. They vow to avoid vexing moral quandaries from abortion to the teaching of ethics in the schools. Well, what the heck kind of a country are you going to have if you don't have a set of guidelines and rules and laws on what's expected of its citizens? You're going to have something like you had in the French Revolution. We'll get to that eventually. That was so brutal, you wouldn't even believe it. It was damning, to be honest with you. It was nothing that you'd ever want here. So Campbell then, again, he announced the formation of that majority coalition, declaring that. So these make nice Republicans have taken up the mantle of the Laodiceans, whom the book of Revelation says were neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. What does a party stand for? What does it mean? You know, I have a list here of the differentials, we'll call it the evaluation of the party platforms. It's pretty interesting to look at that. And maybe we ought to take a look at it as to see what one party stands for, what another one doesn't stand for. But don't be fooled by that. When I say don't be fooled by that, what I'm saying is because this is in a platform, and that means that the people who wrote the platform, they believed in this, and this is the kind of candidates they want, but we don't always get these candidates. For example, on religious liberty, the Republican Party says we strongly support the freedom of America, of Americans to act in accordance with their religious beliefs, not only in their houses of worship, but also in their everyday lives. The ongoing attempts to compel individuals, businesses, and institutions of faith to transgress their beliefs are part of a misguided effort to undermine religion and drive it from the public square. We value the rights of American righteous leaders to preach and Americans to speak freely according to their faith. The government is constitutionally prohibited from policing or censoring speech based on religious convictions or beliefs. That's the Republican Party view. What does the Democrat Party view? It celebrates the paramount importance of maintaining the separation between church and state. As we pointed out before, there was none, but they're making it. What's the new state religion? Secular humanism. That's declared a religion by the Supreme Court also in two occasions. And so you have secularism. It's a religion. It's a belief. They believe in this, they believe in that, and then they force that belief through the schools upon the people, which they're not supposed to do. I wish that somebody would take that on in the courts. Maybe it's a little bit too late now, but because it's so entrenched. It rejects the broad religious exemptions for businesses, medical providers, social services, agencies, and others. We will fight to enact the Equality Act, a bill that would remove religious liberty protections and even force churches to violate the tenets of their faith. Religious freedom is a core American value and a core value of the Democratic Party. Democrats will protect the rights of each American for the free exercise of his or her own religion. Well, isn't that interesting how it gets down to the bottom and they say that, but when you look at what they have at the top, it eliminates that. I mean, it's double speak. This is crazy. This is just one issue, religious liberty. What are some of the other issues that they have? International religious liberty affirms the importance of, this is the Republican view, it affirms the importance of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. It promises a Republican administration will return the advocacy of religious liberty to a central place in the diplomacy, will quickly designate the systematic killing of religious and ethnic minorities as genocide, and will work with the leaders of other nations to condemn and combat genocidal acts. And we're seeing that in Africa, where you have, you know, the Muslim nations or Islam rising, killing off the Christians, enslaving them, or killing off anybody that won't confess what they have. Compare that to Christianity, where you don't force anybody to believe something. You put out the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Christ came because man's sinful. We have a sinful nature. And there's no way that we can get to heaven apart from where the holy and a just God, unless the penalty for sin was paid. Christ paid the penalty for sin, but we receive that by grace through faith. And then, but we're saying here, we want all people to have that choice, to make a free choice, to have a ability to choose for themselves rather than have something crammed down them and forced down them. We already saw with the Equality Act, as they call it, there's nothing equality about that. What it does is it wipes out your religious freedom. And then because you put a sentence on the end of it that says you're not for it. Let's continue on with what the Republican says. So we're against genocide. We want all people to be free in the whole world if we can. That's our goal of the Republican Party. At least it was and is. And it goes on in the Democrat group, party. It says, it will be the policy of the Democratic administration to advocate for religious freedom throughout the world. That's good. Implies religious freedom is a cover for discrimination. What? Wait a minute. So, in other words, we're for religious freedom, but we're looking at religious people as they're discriminating. You all discriminate. Well, let me read the last one. Asserts that there is a I can't read it real clear here, but there's a politicization of religious freedom within the U.S. Foreign policy. So in other words, we're not going to have, I don't know what it means exactly, to be honest with you. I'm sorry about that, but politicalization is what it is. It asserts that there is a politicalization of religious freedom within the U.S. foreign policy. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I can say to you this, is that if you see here what they're saying is, you're going to look at religion as discriminating. So they say, we discriminate. Well, let me tell you something. We do discriminate. You know, discrimination is not a bad thing. I hope that you teach your children to discriminate, not among races, not amongst male or female, but certainly amongst the kind of people that they hang out with, the kind of people that values that people have. We need to have discrimination. You need to teach your kids what's right, what's wrong. Hang out with kids that are good and stay away from the ones that are not. My mom used to vet all my friends coming in, so to speak. Is your mother and father living together? Do you go to church on Sunday? I mean, she'd get around to all of these questions. I'd find it embarrassing. I was a little kid. And then she'd say, this guy, Richard Petrus, he's a good friend. He'll be a good friend for you, you know? And I mean, she would look at things like that and encourage friendships with people that came from homes that had good moral values. That's discrimination, isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean that my mom wasn't an advocate for those that were downtrodden. She certainly was. I saw her stand up to doctors in a hospital to make sure that this one African-American young man who had broken his leg and wasn't being treated, I remember her getting into the face of that doctor, his mom crying, being in the hospital crying, and saying, you treat him. You're not treating him because he's black. Now you treat him now or I'm going to report you. The guy kind of just kowtowed to my mom and backed right off, and that young man got treated. So that's the kind of house I grew up in. That's not one where there's racial discrimination. That's a place where we're seeing stand enough for those that are down and helping those that are in need. But when we take a look at these two party platforms, they are so different.
We are out of time. God bless you till tomorrow.